I don't listen to our podcast very often because I don't like the sound of my own voice. And I also find it quite irritating to listen back to what I've been saying and hear all of my mistakes, as well as go, oh shit, I should have said this at this point here. That would have been like so much more funner. But last episode, genuinely enjoyed it so much. I was like, I gotta listen back to that. That was such a good story. So I was riding my motorbike back from work on my way home. And, you know, my mind tends to wander. It goes from one point to the next, to the next, to the next as quickly as that. So my first thought was, oh, I wonder how many of our listeners listen to our podcast on the move. Like, where do they listen to it? Like, did they listen to it at work? Did they listen to it on the move? And that's when I sort of zoned back into what I was doing. And that's when I realized that I was going like 70 on a 50 mile an hour road. And like, because I tuned back into it, I was just like, oh shit, when did I get here? It's not like I wasn't driving carefully. It was just that, you know, sometimes you get lost in thought and your body takes over. So I was just like, oh shit, like if I really stopped paying attention because I was too busy listening to our podcast, I could like end up like dead. I could end up wrapped around a lamppost or something. And then, like I said, the next thought appeared after that. And that was, right, if people listen to our podcast on the way home, imagine if they got into a crash, right? And you've got emergency services that fucking get out the jaws of life, tear open the top of the fucking car like a fucking tin of tuna, right? And as they're peeling it over and fucking administering CPR on someone's corpse, their last footnote of the literally last words on earth is just us talking about how Toad likes to get his dick stomped out.
Oh, that's like, genuinely like, the greatest gift we could ever give, Brad.
Like imagine, like, you hear one moment and then the next you're hearing Toad getting his dick stomped out and then you're at early gates.
I honestly hope we never have to speak about him again.
Oh, clearly.
I really don't. I really don't want to go into him. But yeah, this is Swinging Through Spider-Man, in case you haven't noticed already. I hope you aren't turning off now you've realised it's us again. It's James, Brad. Each week we read through a Spider-Man comic for the very first time. This is the first time we've been through this journey.
Although you would be forgiven for not realising that it is Swinging Through Spider-Man, because we still haven't found the elusive Western Digital lead which contains the assets to the show.
I am not paying £7 to retrieve. It's like I'm Nicolas Cage in National Treasure and I'm running around trying to find like the secret to unlock this manuscript. Or more topical, Brad, I'm trying to find the secret to decipher the stone tablet.
Oh, good segue.
Good segue. Yeah, and we're going to watch Watchmen after. So that's a geeky, nerdy thing we could speak about. Even I guess it's pretty mainstream if it's a HBO production, but that's what we're going to do after this. So, Brad, last time on Spider-Man, we left off pretty reasonable. It was, everything was kind of sound in Spider-Man's life. He'd got the stone tablet back. Well, he'd put the stone tablet to safety. He'd, you know, got rid of the Kingpin. He got rid of all that menace on him. He had a fight with Quicksilver, and he kind of won that. So everything's coming up Spidey as we end on issue 71. Today, we're speaking about issue 72 of The Amazing Spider-Man. Shall we get into it?
Let's dive right in.
We're going to have to, because where we left off, as I said, in issue 71, everything was great. Spider-Man, Peter Parker, it was all coming up Peter. The first image of this comic book is the Shocker destroying George Stacy's ball and robbing him of the stone tablet.
you can't ever take two moments to just like settle into the good feels, man.
Like, remember the last issue? Spider-Man made a flying visit. Here's a stone tablet. Goodbye. Like, seconds later, the Shocker's just bursting through the wall, going, "Where's the stone tablet? Boom, boom, boom. Like, give me the riches."
Blasting pure dubstep out of his gauntlets.
He just jumps in and knocks him straight out. Like, clears house.
Like imagine, because I remember last episode, we said that Spider-Man went in through one window, dropped the stone tablet, and went out of the other window. So imagine if the timeline went like this. Spider-Man swung through the window, dropped the tablet off, said, can't talk, George, I'm sorry, but there's a tablet, clear my name. Goes out of the other window and swings off. Meanwhile, as he gets his one foot out of that window, Shocker puts his fucking fist through the other window.
He doesn't even come through the window. He just, from the window to the wall, Brad. He comes through the wall.
The sweat dripped down his balls.
It's definitely not dripping down his
face. I don't think it would in that fucking insulated suit, man. That geezer is double quilted, man. That guy can afford the finer things in life.
He does. It's very, very cushioning. I think that's a safety precaution for those vibration gauntlets. As we've discussed before with the Shocker, mine and Brad's exposure to Spider-Man is through not comics or not even really the films. We watch the films, but the games and Shocker, it almost seemed like he had electric powers. And when you read this, it's not. It's the power of pure vibration. It's not good vibration, so it's bad ones. Yeah, but he knocks George Stacy straight out. So George Stacy's pissed off. He's like, why can't you come through the window? Oh,
like, no, no, he's like, oh, the Shocker. Yeah. What do you want?
Yeah, he gets like really wild.
I feel so sorry for George because he is no spring chicken. He really isn't. And yet he has been caught up in the middle of some serious shit, man.
Like, I'd like to think our listeners are reading along to this. I hope, you know, if you don't have the experience of Spider-Man, you get on this issue right now and you look at these first panels, and we're still on the first fucking image of this.
Literally don't even actually open the book. You don't.
The Shocker destroys his entire wall, hits him with the vibro punch. George Stacy's body in the next image is like he must have done a full flip.
That's the only explanation.
Imagine getting your shit rocked so hard you did a full flip.
A whole 360, man.
Like when Big Show like clocks Rey Mysterio and he's jumping. Like, he's a limber man, and he's got a wave one there. He's all right. The Shocker didn't want to kill him, just pull him out for a bit, so he could use his vibro gloves to blow the safe off the wall, reach in, and take the stone tablet, which he can't fucking read.
How did he know that the stone tablet was in the safe? It's like, how did he know? He just literally put his hand straight on it.
Okay, so for comedic effect, I think we said he came straight in after Spider-Man. That's not really what happened. It was probably a day later or a few hours later because it was a newspaper that said George Stacy's got the stone tablet. So he went, oh, I'll just go over to George Stacy's, blow his wall in and take it.
Oh, fucking hell. You know, there's a stone tablet that could definitely do with going back into a museum. Yeah, fuck it. We'll advertise it to everyone exactly where it is.
Look, Shocker's reading this. Like, he cannot read the stone tablet. No one can read it, but he's got it. He's scanning it.
The thing is, mate, is that the Shocker just can't read.
that's not funny. That's mate, sad.
No, he goes into a restaurant now and he's looking at the menu and he's like, I'll have the...
Well, the text would all be like jumbling, not because he's dyslexic or anything, because that wouldn't be funny, but it's the vibrations. They fucked him up.
It's too much.
Like, everything's moving.
Like, that's what it is. It's just pure motion sickness all the time.
He'll have the checking Kaiser Talad and just stare at the waitress like, yes.
Who is also slightly vibrating.
Like, are you the Shocker? No, I'm definitely not. And everything is moving. It's just that hum, do you know, when you press the trick pen?
No.
It's just that hum.
Or when you start up a PlayStation.
The
disc drive just starts booting up.
Clearing out that dust. Like,
No, wait, I got it. Opening After Effects on your MacBook. That's the fella.
I remember when when I tried to render a coffee cup in After Effects and it took 2 days.
I've never seen a
laptop. I had to leave it on.
Never seen a laptop sweat before.
I didn't even want to do anything with it. I just thought, oh, this would be a cool thing. And I did it. And it was like, okay. 48 hours in the park.
The worst part about it was is that you'd look at it and still be like, yeah, that's fake. It spent all that time rendering it and you'd be like, yeah, it's still fake.
Well, Shaka's reading this stone tablet like he can't see and he's trying to read the instructions on a microwave meal. Like he's got them right up to his face.
Both hands on stone tablet.
Like he's like fucked out of his head, trying to like, and everything's shaking and he's just trying to read it. And it's like getting closer to his face. That doesn't make it more legible.
Nah, you know it is. You know when your mum starts reading something without a reading glasses on.
It's like when my nan is driving because she can't see that well. And she's like bent over the steering wheel looking out the windscreen.
You know his nose is all scrunched up and that. Can't quite make it out.
George Stacy, Brad, isn't alone in this house because, of course, his daughter Gwen lives there as well. She hears a commotion, runs upstairs, and thankfully the Shocker doesn't take out any action on her, any violence, because, you know, sweet, innocent Gwen, we can't have her get hit in the head by a vibrating glove. It's just her dad who's been knocked out. So she comes in, her dad's on the floor again. Like, she's seen this a lot now.
This is just something that happens in George Stacy's life, man.
He just gets took for a sucker and knocked out.
Gwen, pass me my green beans.
He's dressed like a green bean.
He is head to toe green bean.
Well, Shocker jumps straight out the hole he made, you know, come back from whence you came. He jumps straight out of that. And he does say, you know, I haven't killed him. You know, well, he's not dead. He's just on the floor, limp and lifeless.
Don't call the cops. I didn't kill him. I'm barely a good guy. Just want the tablet.
He jumps out the window, he's gone, and Gwen Stacy, she gets on the phone and speaks across to George. Didn't the Shocker once battle Spider-Man to a standstill? Didn't keep each other at bay? He's powerful, nothing can stop him, so we should probably call the police.
Good shout.
So, why did the Shocker want the stone tablet? Well, Brad, he wants to sell it to the highest bidder. He wants to get rid of it for cash. The trouble is, the stone tablet is such hot property that bidders don't exist for it. No one's going to buy it.
Like Shocker gets home straight away. He's just like, so, just logging on, minimize my porn tab, www.craigslist.
When he puts it on eBay, eBay, the SWAT team, the second he lists that item, and eBay's done the whole spiel like, yeah, we'll take 30%, we'll take like 3%. Yeah.
I could just...
Second he lists it, mate, and it's badly spelt because the keyboard is going everywhere. Like, so you need to use Goofbid or something to get the misspelled item. Like, stun tublet.
Who is Bidu?
Yeah. So the second he lists it, the SWAT team's going to be there, kicking the doors.
Could you imagine the amount of messages he would send back with an asterisk before whatever he's typing, just so he can correct his previous sentence, but every sentence is a correction.
So where do you head in 1960s to sell a stone tablet? You go to the pawn shop where all the rings are, the guns, the second-hand guns, or just the samurai swords, all the shit.
I fucking love the fact that literally three panels ago, he's like, this is worth a king's ransom. And he's just gone taking it to the dodgiest motherfucking pawn shop in the whole of Brooklyn.
Like, have you ever seen these reality TV shows with the pawn shops? Like, they don't give you a deal.
Worth about 2 cents.
I'm looking at this tablet. That's nothing special. Maybe $5.
I got 3 tablets just like this one right here.
So this pawn shop owner, he's closing his safe for the night. And it looks like on his shelf there's like a teapot and loads of tablets, so he's going for a really good time. The Shocker bursts through the window, says, don't count on it. I'm here to sell the fucking stone tablet.
I'm just there like, there's a door right there. Shocker's like, this guy is aiming shook for the door. The vibrations.
Well, yeah, this guy, in front of the cameras, he's giving it the big and long, yeah, I'll give you $5. When the shocker comes through, he's like, I'm small potato, you don't want it. I don't want it. You don't want it with me, Freddy. Yup, I don't want it. And the shocker says, I know that you know how to reach the big boys. So you're going to get in contact with them because I've got this stolen tablet that everyone's talking about. This guy's like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I
can't do it on the account that you broke my fucking wall.
And this, okay.
I'm on the other side of it. Like, just imagine that the fucking telephone's attached to the wall that he destroyed.
You destroyed my communication. I've got no way of contacting the outside world. The shocker, Brad, I've got to compose myself here because this is probably the funniest, like, jump cut in the comic so far. The guy, he's like talking the shocker's ear off, going, you know, since Spider-Man snatched the tablet from the Kingpin, no one will touch it. It's too hot. No one wants to fuck with Spider-Man. And Shocker says, oh, they don't, huh? That just fucking punches his screen in the head.
Just completely obliterates him.
You could tell this guy's mid-sentence. He's like, yeah, we can't sell it. No one wants it. Like, bang, straight. Gone. Done.
The worst part about it is that the illustration looks like he did a vibrating throat punch. Because like, all the vibration straight in the throat.
Well, he stuns us. Obviously, the shopkeeper's stunned. The shocker's not happy. So he smashes up the shop and jumps onto the street in a rage and announces his presence to the world. And the New York citizens, of course, you know, geez Louise, there's always something going on in this town, as they always say in Spider-Man 2. If you play the video game, you'll hear that so much.
On repeat, man.
On repeat. You will never stop hearing that. But of course, it's another day in New York. There's a crazy, violent villain on the streets. And Peter Parker overhears the news report of the shocker's breakout onto the streets of New York across the jewelry shops, the pawn shops, all in that area. He hears this news report as he's traveling on the bus.
News travels so fast in this town.
Well, there's a guy got on the radio, and they'll always be like, oh, the shocker's on the loose. He's on the loose. Someone's got to get in. The police are conducting a house-to-house search for the mysterious villain known as a shocker. And he's like, oh, not fucking him again.
You know, it's been such a while since we've met with the shocker. I don't even think we put any kind of law against him either.
No, it has to develop naturally, doesn't it? It has to, like...
He's a bit of a zero, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's not even worth, like, making a voice for.
No, just the fucking shocker. Just, like, you have Octavius. And then Kingpin, right? And then it's just shocker.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like...
Bargain bin villain.
He's not even me, a Winkler. And Winkler's like a Z.
He's not even a Z-list, man. Geezer's just like, he's a symbol.
What is the minus alphabet?
Negative bet.
Do you have a negative A? Which is the other side.
The other
side. As far as you can go.
Start turning into some algebra shit, man.
But Peter Parker overhears the fact that the shocker's loose on you know, rampaging around with a stone tablet. It comes at a bad time for him. Because he's on his way to see off Aunt May, who he's, you know, paid a trip for to Florida. He's sending her to Florida so she can have a good time.
Because he got them big books in the last issue, didn't he?
Yeah, so this is a pretty crappy thing for him. Like, he knows he has to go out and deal with a shocker, but he's on a time limit. So he jumps out of the bus, gets changed. He's Spider-Man, he's climbing up a wall. Almost instantly, he discovers a shocker on a rooftop.
Yeah, because the shocker's just running around, just going, does anyone want to buy this tablet?
He's like screaming, like, you're buying it.
Buy it. Show us.
I'm selling it. You're buying it.
That's how you had to sell things back in the day. Like, you ever heard of a garage sale? Where you'd literally just bring all your shit out onto your front lawn and wait until someone walks by and just goes, I'll give you $2.50 for it.
That's a pawn shop owner.
Pawn shop owner again. Yeah. I'll give you $2.50 for it. Like, he goes to a coffee shop and they're like, here's your coffee, sir. It's like, I'll give you $2.50 for it.
I'll give you $2 for it and I'll sell you for $6.
And then you give me back $3 and I'll give you $10. That's the way this works at Crazy Old Jack's Pawn Shop.
Do you think he's got that auction voice? Like, one, what do you mean?
Ain't got any voice left after that that throat punch.
I don't know how, what the fuck is that?
Bands and MC.
Them American auctioneers. Let's reel that shit off, man. It's like they're speaking in tongues.
Possessed by the bidding war.
So Spider-Man finds a shocker and kicks him square in the edge from straight away. Takes him straight down. The shocker's out of energy and Spider-Man's just confused. It's like he's still conscious after that. Right, and I think you should have kicked him harder then.
Big fucking blow.
To be fair, he's a cushion.
Mate, that kick came from like way back there all the way up to way up there. You know what I mean?
That came from downtown.
From downtown, like Macklemore. Like, you know, it must be something to do with the Shocker's outfit. Because that is, it looks lush. It looks padded to fuck. It looks more like
you could,
Mysterio.
You could ride a motorbike at like 120 miles an hour and go straight into the back of a van and you'll be fine in that.
Oh yeah, sound completely fine.
But Spider-Man's kind of always going to be slightly on the back foot with a Shocker because he can just shoot his fists.
Yeah, it's projectile at will.
Like, this is a proper weapon. Like, he comes up across against these people and they've got the tentacles and they've got the wings. Like, this is a weapon.
Oh, yeah. It's
like, Doc Ock's tentacles are just metal fists. Like, this is, I know these are metal fists, but they shoot.
Yeah, it's from very far away. The thing is that I've seen some nuts stuff about the power of sound waves. It can do some very dangerous shit. Like, if you hit a frequency at just the right sort of level, you can literally turn someone's brain into, like, gel.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because I have them stickers on Mythbusters, and you got the red one. And if that breaks, you're dead, and sound waves break it.
Like,
it's not, you know, when some bomb goes off, and it scrambles your insides with a sound.
The sound literally just blows your brain into the back of your skull.
So why doesn't the Shocker get the correct vibration, hit Spider-Man in the stomach, and make him shit himself?
Also known as the brown noise.
The brown note. But then Shock will be at risk of shitting himself.
I was about to say, bold of you to assume that Spider-Man isn't swinging through New York with a full set of underwear.
No, you must have the adult diaper if you're...
It's a onesie, man. Like, he's got to completely undress in order to...
It's like a wetsuit. You've just got to go in it. Like, you can't not go in it. You have to. If you're stuck in them on that reef in that wetsuit, you've got to piss and shit in it.
I was about to say, we know Peter Parker has issues with money, and pretty much every single store in the middle of America, it's like, you know, if you want to use the toilet, if you want to use that water closet, you got to make a purchase. Well, Peter's not made of money, nor is he made of time. He can't stop. He can't change. Easy solution.
He's who he is, and he's on the back foot in this fight with a Shocker on the rooftop. He kind of gets buried under some debris because the Shocker can kind of just shoot stuff onto him. So if he's under a chimney, he can shoot a chimney onto him. He can just destroy the environment and him. So Spider-Man's kind of buried in this debris, but he kicks the Shocker square in the jaw. His feet just come out of this like rubble. Like, he's like starfishing. He kicks him so hard, he like starfishes.
Just like the Shocker monologuing over the pile of rubble as well.
The tablet and the potion, no one will find. No one.
It's quite a low blow, but on Spidey there. It goes, I think that's below the belt, you know.
That looks like he's kicked him in the dick.
Yeah, straight up. Double foot.
One foot. Well, Shocker does go straight out.
Oh, yeah. Starts fucking clotheslining him in and that. But then he's straight back up. Straight back up and at it.
Yes, Spider-Man gets up and he's carrying Shocker in the fireman's carry after kicking him in the crotch. But it looks like it's Shocker playing possum because he kind of just grapples him and punches him off the rooftop.
Right off the... Shocker doesn't think he's done it, does he?
No, he does. And the crowd below think, oh, that's Spider-Man toppling to his death.
That's so stupid. He's just like, oh, we've seen this bloke swing through New York City a million times. Oh no, he's gonna die.
Well, Spider-Man says, he falls off the roof and says, okay, I'm safe. Here's the web, but don't worry. I gotta go. I'm coming back for round two. And Shocker's like, huh?
He can't handle it.
And of course, Spider-Man has a deadline, remember?
So Spider-Man just like, we'll do this another time. And Shocker's just... But
yeah, Shocker's like,
but now is a perfect time.
He's like, I'm not buying it. I mean, I'm selling it. And he says he'll finish him off next time. And Spider-Man waves goodbye and flicks a spider trace on him while Shocker goes, you'll never fucking get me.
It's Spider-Man so takes off. Satisfying that is, because Spider-Man just sort of crawls around the corner and just carries on going. He just literally crawls around the fucking building and he's gone.
Well, he's on a deadline, Brad.
Right. Clearly, if he's okay to just leave Shocker be, if he's okay to just be like, right, I'll leave him to it, it would have been fine for him to have just stayed in that bus and minded his own business.
Imagine if the bomb disposal experts are like, there's a bomb at your chip shop or whatever, and the bomb disposal experts are there trying to defuse this bomb, and they look at the watch and they go,
yeah, I've got to be home soon, lads. You know, video's kicking off in about 5 minutes. You know, just
can this wait 10 minutes?
It's 10 minutes.
He just give me 10 minutes, I'll come back. And the guy doesn't go, he's like, oh, you were 15. He's like, oh, just, you know, don't clock watch nothing, mate. He comes in, defuses the bomb, but like, you can't, this shit needs to be resolved.
To be fair, I think the thing that you don't quite see about like superheroes like Spider-Man is that it's kind of under the assumption that they stop pretty much every crime, but there's still way too much crime happening in New York to for like one man to stop. So like, meanwhile, whilst he's versus Shocker, there's probably like 15 other crimes happening in New York. So like, it's okay for him to take a day off at times because the crime's going to happen anyway. Like, Rome weren't built in a day. Like, just take a day off. It's fine.
Yeah, and look, there's other superheroes out there who will kill the Shocker.
Oh yeah, just like instantly.
Just kill him? Like, you know, you got Daredevil who'd probably punch him off a roof, or Luke Cage will crush his skull. There's a punish. Well, yeah, the Punisher would just shoot him square in the
Punisher fucking jaw. Wouldn't even give him the fucking time of day.
Like, you know, like, Jessica Jones.
My name is the Shocker. Done.
I'm the Shocker. Like, just strangled to death. Like, he's shot in his head with his own gloves. But yeah, of course, Peter has to go. He's got a deadline. He's got to say goodbye to Aunt May. She's heading down to Florida. Peter kind of, you know, coddles her, says, you got to be okay. Don't go to too many discos. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, don't, please. No, I'm being serious, because you will die. Like, any incident could kill you. And then he has to realize, you know, I'm glad I made that, because she'd just worry anyway. But now I've got to be, you know, there when she comes back. I've got to keep jumping through the hoops to make sure she doesn't die. So do a panic attack.
He's sent her off to like storm capital of the whole entire United States. Just like the possibility of her winding up in a hurricane is 50-50.
Well, he buys the newspaper, and one of the stories on there is, of course, about Spider-Man tackling the Shocker and taking him down and running off. But it's a positive Spider-Man story for once on the front of Daily Bugle. But also,
Bugle's headline is like, ignore the last issue, Spider-Man still menace.
Well, yeah.
Whole issue was a typo.
He sees a story about Dr. Kurt Connors as well, who's in Florida. And he's getting he's planning a new experiment. And Peter thinks, you know, I might visit him and beg him for a job down the line. Although that's dangerous, because as we know, Dr. Kurt Connor, he's not far away from it's me, lizard, turning into that fucking creepy lizard.
He's always one step away from the lizard. Look, I can imagine the amount of times that he's gone to go reach for something without his lizard arm. And he's been like,
Fosters!
If only
I thought it was still there.
If only there were the science was advanced enough in this day and age for someone to have, I don't know, a quadruple set of robotic limbs.
He didn't need to go through the process.
He didn't. He didn't, man. He just could have had a robot arm. Could have.
Now he just shits green things.
You know what it is? We're talking about a biologist here.
He wants to master it.
Exactly. He's just like, it just won't be the same. I want my real arm.
So speaking of the Daily Bugle, Brad, J. Jonah Jameson is still in a hospital after Spider-Man put him in there due to a massive traumatic panic attack that Spider-Man delivered to him, gave it him straight on the streets. He's been in hospital ever since. Of course, he's had to hand the Daily Bugle over to his assistant, the city editor, Joe Robertson. This means that J. Jonah Jameson is receiving copies of the Daily Bugle on a daily basis, which is, I guess, it's undergone a slight process of liberalisation. It's not as harsh on political issues. It's not as harsh on Spider-Man. It's not a gossip rag. It's a newspaper, more so than it's ever been, I guess.
Shots fired.
J. Jonah Jameson is reading this, and he is not happy because on the first page, you know, what's this? Spider-Man? Hero? My newspaper?
You know, you know what really makes me laugh about JJ? Is that he's the kind of geezer that would call a millennial a snowflake for getting so hyper about anything that's happening in the world at the moment. Meanwhile, he literally sees Spider-Man on his fucking newspaper like once, and he has to get carted away.
He has to get fucking sectioned.
He's foaming at the mouth.
So what happens is he says, the whole fucking country's gone to the docks. I can't even enjoy myself in the hospital. And then someone says, the nurse runs over and says, Mr. Jameson, you're delirious. He goes, you're ding dong fucking right on him.
You're ding dong right.
And then the next panel, he's getting sectioned and put back into bed, but they've still let him have the cigar. He's got the phone. He's screaming down the phone to get to the Daily Bugle. And this is quite funny. He's like, hello, get me the bugle.
Not bagel.
It's a bagel shop, it's called. Imagine you pick up the phone. He's like, hello, it's the Daily Bagel. I'm here for all your poppy seed bagel needs. He's like, what's this about Spider-Man? He's like, no, we don't do a Spider-Man bagel right now. I mean, he's not one of our more popular characters, but we got a Captain America bagel, a Thor bagel. can I order just the pastrami and gherkin one? Okay.
Pastrami and gherkin,
that's a New York special, mate. Pastrami, the salt beef and the gherkin.
Did they call it a gherkin over there, or did they call it a pickle?
Nah, it's a pickle. It's a pickle, but I'll just say, we'll just leave it there, Brad. And just rest assured that J. Jonah Jameson is off to a nap time. He's being sedated by the nurses, basically, with a needle, and he falls asleep with the bagel man on the line and with a cigar in his mouth.
It's just, I swear that JJ just has lockjaw. That's all he is. I want to know how many cigars he's ingested in his lifetime.
It's just...
I like how you know, oh, dear. No one is taking it away from him. He's just like, this is clearly a fire hazard, but hey-ho.
Yeah, just fucking bad enough. Just let it burn down. If he dies, he dies.
I think he's on the other end of the line in the bagel shop. He's just like, do you smell smoke? Somehow I smell smoke.
So, Brad, you ready for another surprise?
Crack on.
Back on the streets, Pete meets up with Gwen Stacy. They catch up about the day's events, you know, the shocker breaking in, what's going on in Pete's life. It's not as eventful as a shocker.
Gwen's like, where you been for a month, Pete? Pete's just like, about. And she's like, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty much... It's pretty much like that. He says, let's grab a soda together. And as they stumble around the corner... Gwen notices it's Flash Thompson.
Oh, who's shit, back from Narm?
Yeah, back from Narm for a city visit. And he makes a beeline straight for Gwen Stacy, you know, the gorgeous girl. You know, someone who Flash Thompson probably would like to marry. 100%.
Would they ever a thing?
Not really, but like everyone kind of likes Gwen Stacy and Mary Jane.
Yeah, they're sort of like the...
It Girls.
Yeah, the It Girl.
Yeah. So Flash Thompson's all over Gwen. And Gwen, you know, she's kind. She's nice. Flash Thompson's a soldier. She shows her respect. You know, she wants to talk to him about his trips abroad, about his training. And Peter is in the back, very angry. And he says, hey, John Wayne, just one darn minute.
John Wayne, what a slur.
And he says, last time I saw you, I thought the army had changed you. I could have sworn you almost turning human. But if you think those new stripes give you the right to move in on my girl, and Flash Thompson says, bug off, Sonny. When I need a civilian, I'll ask for one.
Rough.
And they're just at it. You know, this is a Peter Parker, Flash Thompson thing, right at it, at each other. And Gwen's like, you know, hang on a minute, Peter. What the fuck has got into you? You disappear all the time. You're speaking shit to Flash, who's our mate. You know, he's come. He's been kind. He's been nice. He's speaking shit to him. And then Peter just points a finger going, okay, I was up too tight. But no one likes to see some other guy making a play for his girl. And Gwen's just like, you know, fuck off. But you're always missing. You're only around when there's trouble, you're gone. Like my dad gets hit. You know, the shocker comes in. Where are you?
That's a bit, you know, that's a bit fucking like, you know what I mean? Like, what's he supposed to do? What is he supposed to do? Like,
but I bet when it's not like coming and saving me from the shocker, it's like when I phoned you to speak about my dad.
Oh, you weren't on the other end of the line.
You're not there. You're never there when we're at the coffee bean. You're not around ever. You can't get you. You just turn up.
Okay.
But he walks home. He walks home in the rain after Gwen says, you know, I can't believe you've been so hostile to a man in combat. And it's kind of true.
He gets out his iPod, man, turns to that emo playlist and just goes.
He pops his collar, walks in the rain. He goes, the old identity crisis. Coming back to haunt old Peter again. I can't tell anyone I'm Spider-Man and it's killing me.
He's not okay. He's not a fucking okay. Listen to fucking Hawthorne Heights as he walks through the fucking street. hey there.
He's got business to attend to though, Brad. He realizes the shocker is still on the loose. So when the shocker turns up to rob an armored car, Spidey is on the scene, ready to lay him out and take his anger out on him.
You know what the problem is with Peter using Spider-Man? It's an unhealthy crutch. Because when he's having problems in his life, he puts on his mask, he gets away from it, and he gets to be someone else for a little while, right? But he doesn't realise that it's just perpetual. It's just his life will only be okay if he's either Peter Parker or Spider-Man, not one or the other.
So the shocker hits an armoured car, which of course will have gems and money in the back. He hits it, it breaks the doors, knocks the drivers out, and he can go into the back and take the money bag. He says, so long, gentlemen. You know, this is what I do. I'm the shocker. I promise you, you know, this money is going to go to good use. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry, fellas. The second he says that, Spider-Man kicks him square in the head again.
It looks like he's trying to crush his head with his thighs.
He just comes in and grapples him.
Instantly, no, doesn't even get a chance to finish his sentence.
And the second fight of the issue starts. Shocker's, of course, shooting all the stuff around Spider-Man, that vibration, that, I don't know what to call them, it's vibro waves or whatever, beams, vibro gloves, beams, I don't know. Just comes off him.
It makes it more confusing, the fact that they're always drawn in yellow. So it's like,
yeah,
is it electricity? It's not, but
it's not.
It acts just as though it is. It, yeah.
So when Spider-Man's on a wall, the shocker shoots the vibration at him. It destroys the wall, sending the entire wall onto Spider-Man, which is a, you know, game over, basically. But Spider-Man, with his reactions, with his powers, he makes a web cushion and he's buried under the rubble. And the shocker just thinks, he knows it's game over. He knows he's just killed Spider-Man. He's like, well, that was easy. He's walking off with a money bag. He looks over the rubble and his voice cracking and he's talking about the loot. He's like, oh, I can't wait for this to just be a memory. You know, when I've got all this money.
He calls it well-earned loot.
No, this is not Fortnite. This is not, you know, there's no battle pass. There's no, no loot crates, no nothing. This is money you've stolen. Someone will take it back from you.
Bad to say, man. He 1v1 the boss, man. He wants that whole EXP to himself.
This is incredibly good. When Spider-Man, well, when the shocker walks away, Spider-Man pokes his little wrist out of the rubble and goes, don't bet on it, and just grabs his feet when he's walking away and just drops him to the floor.
He's just fucking, he John Wayne's him.
Yeah.
Fucking rope.
Like the bowler.
Yeah.
And Shocker's like, oh, fuck you, I can free myself instantly. And he looks like he's having a little piss on the floor. like a little squat. He's squatting down, puts his gloves next to his feet, like to get rid of the web. And he comes around and hits Spider-Man in the head again. Spider-Man jumps over him, giving him the old wisecrack, then flips him on his head. What he does, he picks him up and hits his head off his own glove.
He just picks him up. He just lifts up a man.
He picks him up and slams him so hard, so his arms are above him. He's coming down on top of his arms. He slams him into his gloves.
That's a spot.
You can just see Shocker's eyes wide open as that glove like drills into his head.
That B-Tech scorpion mask. I tell you, look,
the Shocker. Yeah, something like one of the identical Mortal Kombat 1 characters. He gets up, he's dazed, he's like, it's all right, Spider-Man. You know, it's game over. And Spider-Man just goes, you know what? I'm done with you, mate. Webs his face. He's like, ah, oh, I can't see.
That mask was giving great visibility in the first place. Hasn't got a visor or anything. It's literally just a fucking a sock mask.
And the Spider-Man follows up, webs him up into a little net, and he can't get out of it, takes his gloves off him.
Good.
Like a little baby. Bro,
this is the fucking first time that he's left. This is the first time that he's left like the police to deal with a fucking superhero, like a supervillain, right? And took the toy off him. Like, could you imagine having to sort out Doc Ock when you've got all four fucking arms going for you?
So, remember, the Shocker has robbed an armed car with money in the back. Spider-Man's come along. He hasn't introduced himself. It's just been a fight. Spider-Man's mopping up. He's like, oh, I'll leave you for the cops. He's about to head off, about to walk away. Then gunshots go off near him. The people who are in the armored car, they've got the Tommy guns out. They assume that Spider-Man's in on it, on the robbery.
They don't even waste any time to ask questions. The geezer.
He says, hand over the money bag, because Spider-Man's there holding this money bag, like... turns around, like, I'll give it
James
you back.
Woods, man, like hanging out of this broken fucking truck, like the fucking Thompson just smoking with it. Mate, he's even got a silencer on it. It's even got a compressor.
So it's like Spider-Man disappears around the corner, being chased off by the gunshots, and they're like, "Oh, he left the money bag. The Shocker's gift wrapped. Maybe the war crawler helped us. So why doesn't anyone trust him? So because of that, because he just instantly went to fucking shoot his head in."
it's the surprising what the media can do for you.
Yes, Spider-Man's on a rooftop nearby thinking, oh, I got the Shocker, I've lost the tablet, Gwen's probably gonna break up with me. And I didn't take I forgot to take a picture. I know it's my job. I forgot to take a picture of that fight. And my knuckles hurt.
He's just like an old man that's like waiting for a bridge to happen. He's just like, my feet hurt. It's cold in here. I can't remember the last time I took a shit. Oh, it's right now.
he's cursing his luck. And the issue ends with Spider-Man having done almost everything right. And yet still losing.
Well, nothing so far has been his fault. And this is a bit of a weak issue, to be fair. I'm quite disappointed in it, but it's more so just Shocker has served as a purpose of just getting the tablet out of George Stacy's hands, which kind of defeats the object of the previous issue. You don't really
just give it to George Stacy because it's safe.
Put it back in the museum, man.
Yeah, put it under lock and key, give it to the actual police. Don't do something, anything, except give it to a vulnerable civilian. You know, he's not a policeman anymore. But yeah, Brad, that's issue 72. The Stone Tablet saga rages on. And the big interest here is that Stone Tablet is, it's wherever the fucking Shocker left it. Genuinely, wherever he left it.
You know, he's been using it as like a fucking a dinner tray or something in his apartment.
I'm just going to find it with like half open cans of soup that's not been cooked properly.
Nah, just like an encrusted cocoa pop. You know, the milk goes hard.
I guess we got your thoughts on it. Wasn't the best issue, but you know, we'd like to hear what you think about it. So you can catch us on Twitter at Spidey Podcast. And Brad, we'll be back soon with issue 73 and maybe something for Halloween.
We keep floating this Halloween thing, and I'm genuinely looking forward to it.
It's fun. It's fun. We can definitely get away with it. It'll just be a normal, it's a normal episode. It's just a Halloween one.
Okay. Or spooper.
Yeah, we can do it. It's easy. It's pretty gruesome. I mean, don't think anyone under 18 listens to it, but it's pretty, it's like, it's genuinely violent.
I would worry. To be fair, I was reading some of our reviews the other day and come across one of someone who tried to find something for their little youngster to listen to or read, or, you know, just some sort of Spidey media that they could tuck their teeth into after they'd watched
it. It wasn't us, was it? It wasn't
that's,
us.
That's what happened. They found us, listened to us, and went, right, this is now a guilty pleasure. Like, this is not from a bab, but this is definitely from a, and I 100% support that.
Oh, that's pretty cute. That's exactly the kind of review we like to hear. So, I mean, if you're willing to, we'd love to read more of them. And you can leave them on Apple Podcasts. You can leave them on Stitcher, I think. Where else can you leave them? You can leave them wherever you get a chance to. Overcast.
You can send it straight to us. You can
just straight to the horse's mouth. DMs are open
always.
So yeah, you can catch us at Spidey Podcast. Brad, anything to sign off on?
No, just one thing is that I'm looking forward to the Stone Tablet saga coming to an actual crescendo, because these last two issues have been a bit
They could have made the Stone Tablet something to, like, here we go, let's get into the old thing of it. It's like, oh no, he's got it, now he's lost it, now he's got it, now he's lost it.
It's kind of annoying me that it's just like we still know nothing about it. And it's like everyone that's come into possession doesn't know anything about it, other than the fact that it's just presumably rare and worth a lot. Just give us the payoff, man.
Yeah, the payoff. I guess it must be coming soon, but this is the longest kind of story arc you've had, except the story arc about Spider-Man shit in the bed all the time.
Imagine Stanley just like, oh yeah, you like it when I tease you, don't you, Excelsior?
He is teasing us, and I guess the tease will continue. We'll be back soon with issue 73. We'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Peace.